There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody. Hello, 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 and welcome to the number two show, Live Poopery, for a good time call. Let's see. 818-532-1420 is the hotline. It's the doo-doo hotline. 818-532-1420. Give me a call. Welcome to the number two talk show, the only talk show brought to you on the toilet, from the toilet, trademark, number two show. And we're going to chop it up today. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to shoot the bull about anything you guys want to talk about. Just I've had people call and give me some topics and comments, and I'm just going to give you my opinions. And if you guys don't have anything to add to the conversation, then I will completely abandon ship and walk into the Mississippi River and be swept out to sea forever. So no pressure. Once again, the phone line is 818-532-1420. You can leave stuff in the chat. I will try to look in the chat as well and gather what I can from there. But it is hard to do 25 things at a time. But I'm not opposed to it. Hope everybody's feeling good on this Friday. I'm feeling good. It's been a good week. I had fun. I was out Monday of this week. I was on a cruise. I was on the Trailer Trash Tammy pontoon cruise with Mini Kiss. And let me tell you something. Those guys were pulling more ass than regular Kiss. I talked about it on the sister companion show of this show, the Rizzuto show. But I will tell you guys this. I was on a cruise, a floating diarrhea barge. I loved it. Ate a lot of bad food. Hung out with Mini Kiss. Those guys were getting so much ass. They were really getting after it. And I even asked the guys, I go, hey, man, what's Mini Kiss level with a brother? All right. Why are your little asses getting all the booty on the ship? And the guy said, because we're little. People are curious. I'm curious if you ever wanted to bang a little person. Let's talk about it. I think it's cool if you have. In fact, I think it's good, you know. I think it's a good thing if you have tried to do that. And if you haven't, maybe you should. But the guy told me, I go, well, what's so appealing about a little person? And he literally goes like this. He goes, you're built like this. We're built like that. And I was like, okay. I'm going to need a little proof, Mini Kiss. And Mini Kiss took their dicks out right there on the edge of hot tub. And they slapped them around a little helicopter style. One guy, be honest, I was impressed with the size of his dick in proportion to his body. Other guy, dick exactly like I imagined it would be. But hey, God made us all different, am I right? And then I actually went one step further to see if Mini Kiss would show us their assholes, and they did. And I spread one of Mini Kiss's, Gene Simmons' butt cheeks apart. Because he had a big old jungle rump, and he showed all the girls in the hot tub his booty hole. And I don't know. That's what I did this weekend. What are you up to? All right. Oh, I got a caller already. Well, I tell you what, let's patch the caller in and see. Let's see who I got. Let me get in my little. Uh-oh. There we go. All right. Can I accept it from here? I'm learning the software, guys. Isn't that exciting? Hit that. Host room live. Here we go. Connecting a call, you are now talking to Rafe Williams, host of the number two show. Who are you? What the hell do you want? Let's talk.
Hey, Rafe, it's Spencer. How you doing?
I'm good. Spencer, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad. So I had an experience that I wanted to tell you about. So I'm a fellow veteran.
Okay.
And I came home from Japan and met this chick that I went to high school with on Tinder. And this girl technically wasn't a little person, right? But this girl was, I'm not kidding you when I say 4'9", maybe 90 pounds soaking wet.
Okay. So a pocket gal.
Damn near close.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, your little pocket gal. You can take her to the movies. You can put her in your little pocket, sneak her in, get her a little thimble full of popcorn. She just eats it right on there. And then you save money. She eats like one kernel of popcorn, like a little mouse through the whole show.
So I come home, and we have our little fun time. And this is right around 4th of July.
What'd you do, play checkers or something?
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I brought her to a family event, and everybody thought that I was a pedophile because I was banging a 12-year-old. And it's like, no, she's 20 years old. Like, just because she looks like a 12-year-old doesn't make her a 12-year-old.
So you feel awkward.
And, at that point I was like, I'm gonna abandon ship on this situation.
Oh, you broke up with her over it.
Oh yeah. This was like, this was a fun experience and a fun story to tell, but this is I'm done. Like, cut it off right there.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. All right. Was that the end of the story?
Yeah, just about.
Let me ask you.
I wanted to ask you about.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. How did you break it off with the girl? Like, how did you go about telling her? Did you just let it fade into the night, or did you level with her and be like, "Hey, you're cool, but people think I'm a pedo, and that's freaking me out."
It was more of a let it fade out because I was like, "Well, I'm getting ready to leave again, so it's not gonna happen anything serious." So
okay, all right, that makes sense. What was your question for me?
So I got a girlfriend that lives down in Carbondale, and
okay,
I know that you spent some time down there.
Yeah.
And there's some sketchy areas around the area down there, and I wanted to see if you had any fun stories to tell.
Oh, okay. Let me ruminate on that while I address the other situation. Good talking to you, buddy. I'm gonna drop you and just chat about those two things, okay?
All right,
Spencer. Have a good day, buddy.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, man. All right. So, number one, I don't know how. I mean, if the girl was cool and hot, I don't have a problem. I like little gals. You know, of age little gals, obviously, but it's like, I like a little pocket gal. I like a little 5 foot tall. It's kind of used to be my type, you know, somewhere between 5 feet and 5'3". I have no problem with that. I like a little gal I can pick up, put her in my pocket, carry her around, you know, feed her a little cheese cube here and there and just like have fun. You know, she's easy. Those gals are fun. Like, you shouldn't discount someone because of that. I don't know what this girl looked like. Maybe she was a gymnast or something like that. But for the most part, I'm like, you just got to take her around the party and let everybody ID her, I guess. Just make her carry her license around with her. And eventually you'll get over it. There's, you know, love is love. It takes all kinds of couples. And, you know, somebody's gotta love even the gals that look like they might be younger than they are. And as long as she was of age, I don't know, man. I think maybe you should have sought out a little longer, dude. I mean, you're in Japan anyway. Those gals are tiny, too. So it's like, you know, you were out at sea, and hopefully she didn't take it too hard. That kind of hurts to hear that you broke it off with her just because of her size and stature. That's no reason to break it off with somebody. Body positivity on the number two show, no matter how big you are or what size butthole you have. Whether you're a big turd or a little turd or medium-sized turd or even diarrhea, we love you here at the number two show. As far as Carbondale goes, I spent some time in Carbondale, Illinois. For those people out there on YouTube who don't know what that is, that's the home of SIU, Southern Illinois University, which in the 90s and 2000s was voted top 10 party schools consistently across the nation. It was like Arizona State and SIU were always on this list. Not a great place for an education, not going to lie to you. Not at least a book education. It was a great place to get STDs and party. And I spent a lot of time down there. They have a thing called the Strip in Carbondale. It's like the main drag. And every Halloween, they would shut it down. And boy, I got maced a lot down there. I got maced 4 or 5 Halloweens in a row by the police. They would, because they take over the Strip, and then like the students would take over the street. That was a fun little Halloween, you know, Devil's Night game. Nobody was really getting hurt, but the cops didn't like it. And they would shoot tear gas out into the crowd to disperse us. And it, I'm not going to lie, it's the place I've been maced the most is Carbondale, Illinois. And I breathed it in. Did it hurt? Hell yeah, it hurt. But we had a good time. And the cool thing about Carbondale was the bar age, somehow the city ordinance, the bar age was 19. So there were a lot of bar fights. I got to a lot of bar fights in Carbondale. I'm not proud of that, but it was very much my Roadhouse era. It was my Dalton, Wade Garrett era. And a lot of that stemmed from the fact that it was a 19-year-old bar age in Carbondale, man. It made it so strange because basically you would have to get a 21-year-old friend to buy you liquor at the liquor store. No one had money. We were scraping change together out of ashtrays and couches, and we were getting there was a malt liquor called Tiger Eye. It's called the Tiger Eye. God, if we could find it. Let me see if I can find that. Tiger Eye malt liquor. God, I hope I can find it. That'll be the funniest thing in the world. That ain't it. It wasn't that nice of a bottle. 40 ounce. See if we get a little different result. Now we're talking. Yeah. Anyway, we had this Tiger Eye malt liquor, right? And kind of like an OE or a Mickey's or something like that. I'll look for it, man. I wish it would pop up because it was so funny. But there was a tiger on the inside of the label. So you knew you were drunk if you reached the tiger's eye because it was like such a high percentage of alcohol. So we drink that, and we drink Banana Red Mad Dog because it was cheap. And I don't know if you know about those two fuels mixed together, but that is basically like jet fuel for getting into a fight. But the problem was we'd get drunk at home, and then we'd be like, let's go to the bar and talk to some ladies. But nobody wants to talk to a dude at a bar who can't buy them a drink. So it was just basically a bunch of drunk, horny, 19-year-old guys frustrated that the girls were talking to all the other guys, and eventually somebody bumped shoulders with you, you'd get into a big fight, go out in the parking lot, you'd end up fighting a whole bunch of people out there. In fact, there was a place, this is wild, my uncle owned it. My uncle was a big Harley Davidson biker club leader. Storm Riders, actually, was the name of his club. And they had quite a reputation and affiliation. Nice guy. Loved the guy. He owned a place. So in Carbondale, there was a town called DeSoto, Illinois, that was next door. Okay. And in DeSoto, that's where all the strip clubs were because there was a strip club ordinance in Carbondale. You couldn't have any naked boobies or anything like that. So all the college guys would drive to this next town over. And, dude, it was like the Double Deuce. It was like the town in Roadhouse. And somehow my uncle had these unsanctioned boxing matches in this place. It was called Changes Nightclub. And he had strippers, but then like every, I think it was like Thursday night or something, he would have a boxing ring built, and you could just sign up to box. You didn't have to be a boxer. It was basically like guys from towns that would be like, hey, this is the tough guy in our town. Who's the tough guy in your town? And then you would sign that person up. They'd sign some sort of waiver, which I'm sure would not have held up in court. And then you would just watch two guys from neighboring towns beat the living dog shit out of each other with boxing gloves. And then eventually everyone would end up getting in a fight. There was like a fight that would spill over out into the ring. But it was a very fun time. I'm highly illegal. Couldn't have possibly been run through the proper channels. But, man, what a fun time in history. And I just remember I was like the first time you got something. Like my, I got a caller, but hold on. I'm going to finish this story because I think it's funny. It was the first time. It would be funny because the ring girls were just like, I'm going to be honest, they weren't the A-squad strippers, okay? They weren't. These girls had seen better days, but they were ring girls. There were some, you know, and not all boobies are good. All boobies are good. I'll argue that till the day I die. But there were some long titties. There were some sock titties. There were some irregular pancake-style tits. And they were the ring girls, and so they would parade around, and then the next thing I know, you know, I'm signing up my friend and giving him a nickname, Brian the Love Organ Morgan. He's in there fighting people. We're laughing our asses off, but then a fight breaks out. It's the only time I've ever seen anyone get hit with a beer bottle in real life, like in the movies. And they don't shatter like you think they will. My friend had his thumb over a Budweiser and was just beating the shit out of somebody on top of their head with, like, the butt end of a beer bottle, and it held up. And that guy had a lot of welts. And I don't know. I guess that's just the point of that story was don't believe all the movie magic. Sometimes the beer bottles just are a bat. All right, let's take a caller. See who I got here. I'm in the queue, and hi, you're live with the Number Two Show. This is Rafe Williams. Who am I talking to, and what are we talking about?
You're talking to Drew right now.
Hey, Drew, how are you, buddy?
So far, so good. So it sounds like you are a man with many tales.
I've lived a life.
And I'm someone, I don't have too many crazy tales, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is the greatest prank you've ever pulled?
Damn, that's a good one, brother. All right. Is that all the only question you had, Drew?
That's the only one I got.
All right, brother, I'm going to drop you off the line so you can just watch along with everyone else. I don't want to hold you hostage on the line. That is a really good question. What is the greatest prank I've ever pulled? Now, there were a lot of good pranks when I was a kid. I'm trying to drop. There we go. Figured it out. When I was a kid, we got away with a lot more stuff. There was like a guy when I was growing up, we used to smash his pumpkins, and he sat on his roof with a rifle and salt rock in a .22 rifle. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like it's a bullet that has salt in it and would just like break the skin and burn. And he shot children. he got tired of us smashing his pumpkins, and he would just shoot at us, and he shot my friend Wayne in the ass, and I think someone's dad got involved. It was crazy, but we used to prank, and I feel bad about this in hindsight, man. We used to prank the teachers really hard at our school, and I would prank the PE teacher. You know, she had like those parachute pants that PE teachers wore in the 90s, and we would constantly sneak into the coach's office and put saran wrap over the toilet, and then she'd pee all over her little parachute pants, and then she didn't have any backups, and she'd be soaked in piss and mad, and we used to hide catfish bait under each other's car seats, and that's the I don't know if you ever smelled catfish bait, but it is disgusting. We used to do that. Man, shot bottle rockets up my superintendent's tailpipe, which was not safe. Shouldn't do that, but we did it. And there was a lot of crazy pranking going on. We used to egg people's houses. We threw these tomatoes through the windows of open cars as they passed by on the highway. And, man, we threw one in a cop car, and it exploded all over. And that was not good. Exploded all over a cop, and he was fucking pissed. And we eluded him, but, man, he was pissed, and he was trying. Then we threw one in a T-top Camaro, and my friend threw one in there, and it missed the guy, and it ended up hitting his girlfriend, and then that guy got mad and tracked us down. There was a lot of criminal mischief. Now that I'm looking at it in retrospect, there's a lot of vandalism and criminal mischief going on. The 90s was wild time. That's all I'm saying, and the early aughts. But we had a series of, like, pranks that were always fun to do. Every Halloween, you know, we would have bottle rocket wars in our town, which was like, I don't know if it's a prank, but it was definitely a fun time. You know, we would do Ding Dong Ditch. And there was Rhonda McMillan's dad, Rob, who I still love, was a girl I dated. And he would have like a big Halloween spread. And we'd be playing Ding Dong Ditch. But when we knocked on his door, he dressed up like a scarecrow in the yard and was like sitting on a hay bale. And that guy would leg you down, dude. He chased us all through town, and he was pretty fast, you know. That guy had to be, like, 40 years old. He had some stamina. That was a fun time. And then we would take PVC pipes, and we would tape duct tape them to the side of, the side view mirrors of everyone's cars. And we would shoot bottle rockets at each other, kind of like the game Twisted Metal. We would just shoot, like, whistlers, and we'd be driving through the streets of our home. We only had one cop, you know. All I had to do was avoid one guy. Not a big deal, and we knew him. So, we were shooting, like, live fireworks and Roman candles into the interior of vehicles and things like that. That's pretty wild pranks. We did set Justin Porter's car on fire one time, but it was an old car, honestly. And it didn't burn all the way up. The back seat did catch on fire and burn down to the foam. But other than that, everybody pretty much got away unscathed. And I don't know if it's a prank, but I had a good friend named Mike Abadusky, who was the craziest guy in the world. And he passed a cop on a highway to see what would happen. He was that kind of guy. What happens is you get pulled over and you get your ass chewed and you get a very large ticket. But it was funny. And he would pull a prank where we would like go to get something to eat, and he would sneak out, and you had to run and jump in the bed of his truck, or he would leave you at the restaurant you were at. So there was a lot of those types of pranks going on where it was just like you could get left like four towns over if you were out with Mike. He would, and if you didn't get in the bed of the truck, the prank wasn't funny unless he actually left you. So it was kind of, you learned to like grab your Subway sandwich and run if you saw Mike get up to go to the bathroom. He also took a blowtorch and cut the top off of his Mercury Cougar to make it a convertible. It was not a convertible. He took his dad's blowtorch, and then he went and got a World War II pilot's hat, glasses, and a white scarf like the Red Baron, and drove it around for a couple of days, and then we took it through a mud field, and he tried to jump it over to the foundation of a burned-down house, and the car got caught on the house and was teetering. It was teetering on, like, where you couldn't get the wheels down. We couldn't get it off the foundation, so he just took a can of gas and set the entire Mercury Cougar on fire. And that, whether that's a prank or not, it was a hell of a good time. And it was a good story. And Mike's passed away, and I miss him dearly. And he was a crazy dude, and it was funny. Yeah, nothing crazy. I didn't hijack a plane or anything wild like that. Wish I had a good story like that. Do we have any more callers right now, boys? Call in if you want. It's, let's see, where's the freaking number? 818-532-1420. Let me go into the chat and see what you guys are talking about in there, huh? I do have a pre-record. Let's, you know what? Play the pre-record. Oh, I got to turn this down. I love that someone in the chat is just quoting Talladega Nights. That's very useful for the show. Thank you very much. All right, let me know when it's ready to be played. All right, moving on. Oh, someone says I'm 6'8". Someone just wrote pocket pussy. Oh, okay, well, I guess I could do a review. Okay, let's try this pre-record again. Technology, guys, and we're live.
Mr. Rafe Williams, Jeremiah Job, I left you a audio. Mr. Williams, this is Jeremiah Job, Riz team member. I am calling about the number two show for tomorrow. I was hopeful. I'm kind of interested about the behind the scenes show prep and producing and everybody's different titles, different roles. And then the compensation aspect of how you all are paid. It's very interesting to me. I'm a physician recruiter, so just kind of interested about things in the background. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeremiah Job, for identifying yourself as a Team Risk member. That was very important to that call. All right, there were several questions in there. I think the first one was roles and prep. So let's talk about that. Now, I'm assuming we're talking about the number two show. You may have been asking about the Riz show since you called. For those of you on YouTube who don't know, I'm on a radio show called the Rizzuto Show. It is the mothership of this show, the number two show, hence the term. I have co-hosts on that show. So let's do Riz show first. Riz show prep is wild. Radio, the host, Scott Rizzuto, gets here at 3:30 in the morning. The rest of us get in a little later. Everybody between 4:30 and 5:30. Some of us prep. I prep in the afternoons. We all have different roles of what segments we will cover on a radio show. It's a four-hour talk show, so there's a lot going on. A lot of it is, and we have a show prep package of things we're going to talk about. A lot of us don't really see that until right before the show starts. That way it's kind of fresh and organic. That's the prep for that. The prep for this show, it's just me, baby. Whether I'm doing a live or whether I'm doing some of the old number two shows, I wrote scripts and I would talk about specific topics, whatever I want it to be. If I have a band coming in, I have two people that produced a show with me, Josh and Zane. They're super helpful. They run the board. They run the live switcher. They help me come up with ideas. They help come up with ideas for the framing and the cameras, and they get everything set up when I come in. And this is a very much a lemonade stand compared to the Rizzuto show. But we have a lot of fun, and we kick it, and we have a good time. In terms of compensation, I don't really know what you mean. I'm compensated in joy from this show. It is part, I just do this because I like it. I want to start a web series. I thought that the talk show From the Toilet to the Toilet was a good idea. And obviously we sell YouTube ads and things like that. But for the most part, I just do this because I enjoy it. It's a way for me to interact with fans. I don't have to worry about the FCC as much. And I can speak my mind in a little bit more because it's just me. I'm the host. I'm the number two show. On the Rizzuto show, obviously I'm paid to be in radio. I don't really know. You know, you get your regular compensation. We get paid for personal appearances, and if advertisers sign up and we do live reads, we get paid for that. That's pretty boring, so I don't want to get into that too much. In terms of compensation, I do think it's weird to pivot a little bit. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, is it still faux pas to talk about money? Like, when you're talking to your friends about how much you make, or colleagues for that matter, because part of me feels like the fact that we don't communicate about what we make or don't make, whatever your chosen field is, I feel like not communicating about it benefits the employer more than the employee. Because if we don't share, you know, what we're making or what we're, how we're being compensated with one another, then a lot of the times I think that gives power to the employer to lowball or shortchange folks because you don't know your worth. And that is a big problem in society. That's something I struggled with when I went from a 9-to-5 job to being a full-time comic, or any kind of art or any kind of self-employment, is knowing your worth. Because a lot of times when you start out in something like comedy or you're a novice at something, you get paid as a novice and you get conditioned into being like, oh yeah, I'll do a comedy show for $50, 400 miles away and sleep in my car for the experience. And at that time in your career, you need that. But then you get to a point where you're pretty damn good, you know what you're doing, and then you got to start figuring out what you're worth. And that's a tough thing because I think we all struggle with self-worth issues, whether we admit it or not. And a lot of times you don't want to bid yourself out of a job. So I don't know. I just had that thought. I think with compensation, it's good to talk to each other. Whatever your chosen trade or business is, I think it is good to communicate with one another. You know, how you're pricing things out and what you're being paid. Not in a braggart way. I get the Midwest humbleness of, like, not wanting to brag about what you make. But I think we need to normalize in society now. It's not like when our granddaddies were getting a gold watch and working 40 hours a week for 40 years for the same company. That's not the world anymore. So we need to be talking to each other about, like, hey, man, what's fair compensation for this or that? So whatever your chosen trade is, figure out a way to talk about it without sounding like an asshole. There we go. Looks like I got another caller. Huh? Ooh, listen, that's call-in music. Turn it up, dog. That's the sound of someone calling me on the number two show, talking to me through the telephone. You guys didn't know there were words to that song, did you? Neither did I. That's improv, baby. Hello, welcome to the number two show. Holy shit.
Well, I'm glad I got the honor of having hold music.
Yeah, you got some lead-in music. Turn that music down so I can hear him a little bit. Even though it is very pleasant, it makes me happy. Who am I talking to?
It's your old pal, Electric Outcast, Rafe.
EO, the Electric Outcast. One of our regular degenerates in the Riz Show chat every day. And I dig that about you, man. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, but I'm getting better.
Okay, better than fantastic is good. All right, what's on your mind today, pal?
Well, since this is the number two show, I actually have a topic that I wanted to bring up with you that would be a little bit more appropriate. So last week I was in St. Louis to see Tim McGraw for my birthday.
Oh.
This concert was on Friday, and my birthday was on Sunday.
Okay.
And I ended up staying at the at a hotel. It was the America's Best Value Inn out in the. It's right near the Target and the Costco. I can't remember what street it was.
Five star. America's Best Value Inn, where breakfast is served, but you may not survive it. Pretty cool.
Yeah, but anyway. But the topic I wanted to bring up is I actually have a bidet in my bathroom.
A bidet?
Yeah, but that, and the reason why I bought one is...
Well, I knew when you told me you stayed at America's Best Value Inn that you were somebody that had a bidet in your bathroom. But go ahead. What's the question?
Do you think hotels, you know, no matter how expensive or how cheap they are, should they have bidets in their bathrooms? Because ever since I got a bidet, I can't live without one.
Oh,
I can't even use toilet paper anymore without my butt hurting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, toilet paper's for Philistines, for the pores. Who needs that? You can have the warm trickle of a water spout blowing your asshole out. Great question, EO. Thanks for... Go ahead, buddy.
It can prevent hemorrhoid stings. It can prevent hemorrhoid stings as well.
Hemorrhoid stings?
Yeah.
Do you have a bad case of the roids?
I do, and ever since I got a bidet, it's helped out immensely.
Really? What does it do? Is it like a water pick on your hemorrhoids, shrinking them bad boys down, or how does it work?
It cleans out the leftover stuff that you get out.
But without irritating your little Klingons there.
Yeah, without the use of toilet paper, because toilet paper will actually irritate it.
Yeah, I could see that. We've all had a roid or two in our life. Cool, man. Well, thanks for calling in. I'm going to talk about it some more, but I'm going to keep you on the line, okay? I'm going to drop you. Peace out, brother.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, you know, as far as toilet paper goes, I love this music. We should have had this on the entire time. The director's note, this will be on from now on. Spray some water on your hemorrhoids, guys. That's the message from today's number two show. Keep it clean. You don't want to have to be putting a bunch of witch hazel on your ass just to shrink your hemorrhoids up. Just get a bidet. And you know, I don't know if hotels should get on board or not. I feel like hotels are barely hanging on by a thread as it is in terms of basic service. And I don't know that I want to be blowing my asshole with water from all the complete strangers that have been staying in the hotel room before me. There's got to be something. I feel like a bidet is just another thing for them to mess with. You say they piss in the coffee pots or they pee in the iron and all. I'm like, well, what are they going to stuff up the bidet that's going to blow out all over me? But I don't know, man. I guess if you're a chronic hemorrhoid sufferer and you can't get a hemorrhoidectomy, maybe they should have, the way they have ADA rooms in a hotel. Josh is about to throw up. My producer has a very weak stomach and I can see him gagging off screen. And it's very pleasant for me to watch. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But I think maybe the first step is for a hotel to have, like, the way they have ADA rooms, maybe they have, asshole rooms. They have hemorrhoid rooms where it's like, hey, do you suffer from inflamed veins on the rim of your bunghole? Then, hey, for $117 a night at America's Best Value Inn, you can stay in our hemorrhoid suite. And we will put a very gentle, warm bidet that you can blow all over your little swollen red hemorrhoids. And it'll make you feel better, and it'll keep you from having to use toilet paper that irritates a serious condition that should be taken seriously in America, which is gorged, inflamed, throbbing hemorrhoids hanging off of your bunghole. Yeah, that feels right. Do we have any more callers? No callers. We're about 35 minutes in. Let's see. Spraying water on hemorrhoids can be a safe and convenient alternative to a sitz bath after a hemorrhoidectomy care. Huh. Look at that. We're learning stuff. I've heard stories from other comics about a couple of brothers that ran a comedy club, and I believe KC, they're absolute shit shows. Any experience there? No, but I have heard some of those stories. Yeah, someone said they've never seen a plunger or a... This is a good tangential topic, and because I've had this happen on the road. They don't keep plungers or brushes in a hotel in your bathroom. And if you drop a big, you know, Campbell's soup can turd in there and you clog it up, you got to call down to the front desk. And you got to have somebody bring you up a plunger. And a lot of times it's an engineering guy and he doesn't want to give up the ghost. And it's embarrassing. It's not good for anybody. You don't want to send anyone into there. You don't want to send anyone in there, dude, into that little chamber of horrors that you've created. But they do. They have to come up. They have to bring a plunger, and they have to plunge your toilet. And a lot of times there's a lot of shame and guilt associated with that because, you know, you dropped a big stinky mud pie in there, and then you clogged up your toilet. And you feel like you're a disgusting human being for that. But you're not. You're just a regular person with big old fat turds. And that's okay. It's not a big deal. I got one more caller. I think I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to wrap this puppy up. This has been a very fun episode for me. I hope you guys have had fun. I like the poopery. I like kind of like spreading it all around and seeing what comes up. Hopefully this call will not disappoint. Let's see. Oh, wait. I'm trying to answer my own call. That's embarrassing. Call in queue. Hello. You're live with the number two show host with the most. Talk to me, you dingleberry, you Rafe head. What's going on?
Hi, Rafe. This is Becky. I don't even have a question. I just wanted to tell you how absolutely amazing I think you are. My husband and I think that you're, like, the best addition to the show. You are favorite part of it. And, like, your ability to take some kind of random, just basic topic and turn it into this adventurous story is my favorite type of humor in the world. So I just wanted to send you some love and tell you you're amazing.
Aww.
And thank you for, like, making every morning so fun.
Well, Becky, thank you very, very much. That was a sweet, useless piece of information to call in and give me. I'm just kidding. I love you. You're the best. I love hearing stuff like I love when people are positive and they're not shithead trolls. So I appreciate you. I love you. And keep listening and keep watching the number two show, okay? You have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Gotta love a Becky. I like more Beckys in my life. I got a few. You know what? I'm surrounded by, I have a lot of good women in my life that build me up and treat me good. And I'm a very lucky guy in that aspect. And I'm adding Becky to that list right now. Becky, you're fucking on the list. So thanks a lot for being another good woman propping up a man in this world. I love you. All right, let's see who the hell else is calling in. They better, and if, and honestly, guys, we could just make this a show where you all compliment me. My ego would love that. If you just want to call in and tell me how fucking awesome I am, I could use that. I could use that because by the time I've gotten out of the shower every morning, I've relived every bad thing I've ever done in my life and every bad conversation I've ever had, every dumb thing I've ever said. And I hate myself before I'm even towel dried in the mornings. So anything to offset that, honestly, is pretty cool. So anyway, let's take this call. It's probably a troll. It's going to tell me to kill myself, and that's fine. Got to edit that out. That might get flagged on YouTube. Hello. Welcome to the number two show. Don't tell me I'm a bad person.
Oh, no, no, not at all. I was just thinking when you were putting the name Becky on the list, I've got an ex-wife named Becky that I'd be happy to give you because she's definitely not on my list. But right. Reason being, listen to...
Who am I talking to?
Every day. Every day.
All right, you listen every day.
Religiously.
Cool. All right. I'm assuming you're talking about the Rizzuto show because I don't do this show every day.
I know we were worried after the first of the year because you went the longest stretch and there wasn't any new number two shows.
No, I'm back, baby. We were inking a deal with Megaphone.
Hey, I'm getting up there in age and having all kinds of dental issues, but I can't chew pork steaks and pork chops and T-bones like I used to. But I remember one time you kind of gave your recipe for preparing pork steaks and getting them good and tender. I didn't know if you could just kind of run over that quick and I could write it down.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. We'll make this a cooking segment. Do we have the cooking segment slide over there, boys? We can throw up. Let's call this the courtesy flush. That's the cooking segment. The courtesy flush cooking segment brought to you by a man who's old and needs dental work. All right, here's the deal, brother. What's your name, man?
Danny.
All right, Danny, I'm dropping in. I'm going to give you the recipe so you get a pen and a paper. And are you watching on the live?
Yeah, looking forward to meeting you in Litchfield on the 8th of April. That's just about 10 miles from the house here.
Oh, the solar eclipse. Yes, we'll be talking about that next week. All right, brother, it was good talking to you, man. Recipe's coming at you. It'll be live, and then it'll be live on the screen. Here we go.
Awesome.
All right, buddy, see ya. All right. For those of you that don't know, the number two show, I'm getting a lot of calls have to do with the sister program, the Rizzuto Show, which is a natural progression when you're doing stuff as an offshoot of another show. But Danny wanted to know my pork steak. Now, I'm known in St. Louis as Captain Pork Steak. I am the leader of the Pork Steak Army, the number one resistance for quality, affordable, family treat meats in St. Louis. And a pork steak for the rest of the world, it's a St. Louis thing. I believe it's called a pork shoulder cut or a pork shoulder steak. If you're like, how do I get one? You got to go in and ask for a thin cut or a medium cut pork shoulder steak, and they will get it for you in any butcher shop or deli that's worth their goddamn salt. I can promise you that. And if they don't know what you're talking about, you turn around, you walk out, you stop in the doorway, you give them two middle fingers, and you tell them they're a fucking hack and that they wouldn't know a good butcher if one came and chopped them up on their own assholes. And then, you know, you probably get thrown out of a Publix or something like that. But whatever. Do it anyway. The way I like to cook my pork steaks, here's my thing. I'm not a big, if you got to hide something in barbecue sauce, you fucked up. What you do is you pre-treat the pork steaks, okay? You get a mix of salt, pepper, and Worcestershire sauce. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that right. And I damn sure ain't going to spell it for you. But you know what I'm talking about. Worcestershire sauce. You get that. You soak the pork steaks in it. You brine them. You put them in a plastic bag. You put them in the fridge. Maybe anywhere between 4 hours and overnight. Whatever. 2 hours in a pinch. You get them out. You take a little bit of Montreal steak seasoning now that they're all wet and brined, and you slap that on there. Then you put them on the grill. You put them on at a reasonable degree, preferably a grill. You can broil them if you need to. And you cook them. And that's all you need, man. You just cook them. And if you cook them the right way, not too high a heat, you don't want them to curl up like the Wicked Witch's legs. You know, if it curls up and it's holding the juice, all the juice, you cooked them too hot, brother. You can't do that. You got to put them on there flat, indirect, or direct. You start them on direct heat, you sear them, then you put them in indirect heat. Anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes, you'll know when they're done. It is pork, so don't get too crazy. You want to make sure they're cooked all the way through. Then you pull them off. You don't need steak sauce. You don't need barbecue sauce. Those bad boys are going to be ready to eat. And, Danny, that is the secret, Captain Pork Steaks, perfect pork steaks. What a time to be alive. Oh, I think we know what that sound means. That means I have crushed it once again on the number two show. You guys have been a great audience out there live. I had a lot of fucking fun today talking to you guys, man. You brought up some good topics. Some of you brought no topics at all, and that's okay. It's not your job to create content for me. It's my job to create content for you, and that's what I'm doing. I'm just doing it on the fly, trying to use my improv skills to have a good time. Until next time, I am your host of the number two show. I hope you will continue to watch. We got a lot of cool stuff in store for 2024. We've been having a good time. Follow me on the socials at I am Rafe Williams on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and all Grindr, whatever. Get on there. I'm on there at I am Rafe Williams. Follow the Riz Show. Follow 105.7 The Point. Follow us all. It's all about followers. Come be my minion. Follow me. Follow me. But most importantly, have fun. Treat each other kindly. If you got to use a public restroom, we know it's an emergency. I hope you made it in time. Put down one of them little paper ass gaskets if you can. And if you can't, just hover, drop, and move your hips. That's the secret. Hover, plop, move your hips so you don't get hit by the splash. Plop another one in till you can get that ass gasket down to protect yourself. So you don't get some sort of weird rash on your ass from using a public toilet. That's today's public service announcement from the Number 2 Show. I'm Rafe Williams, your host, and until next time, thank you for joining me for Number 2 Show Live, the Poopery. I love you. I'll see you soon. Don't forget to wipe.